Good morning. It is really great to see you. Thankful that we get to be together today. As already been mentioned, we absolutely have a great group here with us today. So thankful that that you're here. And we want to be thankful to Almighty God that we are blessed to be able to be together, pray together, sing together, study from God's Word together for a few minutes. So it's a great blessing to be together. What we've been doing on the last several Sunday mornings like this, when we have been together, is we've been thinking about the characteristics of God, the nature of God, and considering the fact that if we really and truly come to understand who God is as He's revealed Himself to us, that we will be in awe of Him. As it says in Psalm 22, verse 23, that we're to praise Him, to glorify Him, and to stand in awe of Him. Standing in awe of God. We've considered His great power. We've considered His unending and matchless knowledge. We've thought about the fact that God is faithful to us. Not only are we called to be faithful to Him, but again and again, God reveals Himself to us as a God who is faithful. All of these kinds of things ought to cause us to stand and be in awe of Him. What we're going to think about today for a few minutes is the fact that the Bible tells us several places, like Psalm 107, verse 1 that we just read, we're to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. God is good. And when we come to understand what that means, because the word good can be used in a lot of different ways, and we're going to kind of talk about that for a minute. When we come to understand what Scripture has revealed about God and understand that He's good, we'll be in awe. And we want to live differently, and we want to be different. We want to talk differently. We'll just want to be in a way that God looks it upon us and says, well done, good and faithful servant. We use the word good in a lot of different ways. The word good can be used like as a comparative, just sort of this is better than that. This one's good, that one's not. The word can be moral. It can be ethical. It can be ultimate. Let me give some examples. Sometimes we might say this, boy, you look good. Maybe that means you look pretty. Or maybe it just means, last time I saw you, you looked terrible. And so right now, you look good compared to that. You look good. Right? The word's kind of elastic. There's also times we use it like this. This tastes good. That might mean that this is something really great. I'd like to have it again and again. Right? This is good. Maybe it just means I'm just really hungry and I'll eat anything. This is good. Maybe sometimes we say this, he or she is good at basketball. So it's comparing to others. They're not so good. This one, she is good. He is good. What about used this way? He or she is a good person. When that name gets brought up in conversation, whoever it might be, yeah, she's a good person. He's a good one. Would you say it this way? I consider myself to be a good person. I think a lot of us might say that if questioned. Yes, I consider myself to be a good person. That just means I haven't committed any major felonies. I've just kind of gotten by. I'm a pretty decent kind of person. What about this? What about as a parent? Because this is the way I think about it so often. When Laura and I tell our boys, be good. What does that mean? That can mean a lot of things, can't it? It might mean, look, stop fighting. Stop the arguing. Just be good, please. Maybe it means this. Be obedient. You know what's expected of you. You know what the rules are. So just comply. Be good. Maybe it's this. Be honest. Be trustworthy. Be the kind of sons that we can send out into the world and trust. Be good. Right? There's lots of, we could keep going. I have so many more of these. But just this, whenever Scripture says that God tells us to be good, what does He mean? Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Luke chapter 6, verse 35, it's repeated. The Bible there says we are to love our enemies and to do good to those who hate us. It's a command from God. Do good to others. 1 Thessalonians 5, 15. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but here's the command from God to us. Always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. 1 Peter 3, verse 11. Turn away from evil and do good you kind of get a theme here? God demands of us that we do good. One last one. Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those of the household of faith. So let me summarize what we just read. God expects us to be obedient to His will. God expects us to follow His plan. And God expects us to, out of kindness and out of the love of our hearts, He expects us to demonstrate compassion to other people that may come into our vicinity, into our purview. We're to be compassionate and kind to those we come in contact with. We're to do everything that's in our power to do to help others. Do good. Be good. The Lord says to us, like a parent says to a child before they leave the house. So we understand what it means for God to look upon us and say, do good, be good. But what about when we turn the tables? We're now no longer the parent standing over a child or the child standing beneath the Father of Almighty God. We're not the ones that are standing there saying, be good. Now we're looking at God and saying, God, you are good. So when we turn it in that direction, what does it mean? What does it mean to say that God is good? Because surely it means more than the way that we commonly use it. You go back to a place like either Matthew 19 or Mark 10 or Luke 18. In all three of these passages, you have the story of the rich young ruler. You remember this account, right? The rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus. In one account, like in Mark 10, he says, good teacher, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And remember what Jesus says, why do you call me good? There's only one who's good, and that's God. God is the one who's good. He's the only one. So when it's used that way, surely it means more than what is told to us to be kind to others and help others. And what does it mean for God to be good? Only Christ, only God, only the Lord is perfect. He's the only one who does all things perfectly. So what could it mean for us to say when Scripture says, like Psalm 107 verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. What does that mean? Well, let me suggest three things to you based upon several things that are in Scripture here. But for one thing would be this. We're going to look at it in a way that sort of means the way that others are treated. Another is going to be a moral, ethical way, sort of standing in opposition to sin. So let's start with this. God is good because Scripture teaches us that God blesses us before we ever even ask Him to. God is good because He offers blessings and kindness and hope and love and all of these things before we ever even ask. And so to do or to be good is to do what's helpful. To be good is to do what's beneficial for others before they even request that of us. Remember in that passage we read a moment ago, Luke 6, for example, Jesus told us to do good to those who hate us. Love your enemy and do good to those that hate you. Now, think through this with me. Do people that hate you normally come to you for help? Do people that hate you normally come, you know, I've got a really big problem and you're the first one I thought of, enemy of mine. Do people that hate you normally come to you with requests? No. People that hate you usually try to stay as far away from you as they possibly can. Your enemy doesn't normally ask you for favors. But if we're going to do good to those who hate us, we're going to do that which is kind and helpful and encouraging before they even ask. And that's exactly what God does. Because He's good, He blesses and He gives before we even ask. Consider the way that God's goodness is demonstrated in creation. You go back to Genesis chapter 1. Remember, there's that phrase that's repeated. This first day ended, He saw that it was good. The next day ended, it was good. And then after the sixth day, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, it says that the Lord surveyed all that He had made. And what? It was very good. Now note, it's talking about the creation there is very good. It doesn't say God is good there. But here's what's happened. It says that God has made this good world and then just gave it to us. We didn't make any large requests. We didn't make any big demands. God made this good creation, and then He placed us in it. He gave it to us. Because the one who is good does good things, offers great blessings before He's even asked. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm 145, verse 9. Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He's made. Over all that He's made. He offers His goodness, He offers His blessings to everyone. In that same passage, Psalm 145, drop down to about verse 15. The eyes of all look to You, and God, You give them their food in due season. You open Your hand and You satisfy the desire of every living thing. You offer good things to all. The way Paul would say it in Acts chapter 14, remember in Acts 14 he's healed someone through the power of God, and the people there become so excited that they want to worship Paul and Barnabas as gods, and they have to stop that. But Paul finally says this in Acts 14 verse 17. He, that is God, did not leave Himself without witness, for He did good. How did God do good? By giving you rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. In other words, God just blesses you, and whether you ask for it or not, God sends rain and causes the grass to be green and the flowers to grow and the trees to produce. God's good, and He gives those things to you, even when you didn't ask. And so He gives and He blesses and He provides long before we ever say a word. And that's part of the reason why I want you to think about this. When we say that God is good and that's who He is before we ever even ask, that's part of the reason why, if you look in the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 5, the tenth and final commandment is not to covet. You know why He tells us not to covet? What the big deal with that is? Because you're essentially saying, God, you know what? You're not good. I need more than what You've given me. And I don't trust You to give me some for tomorrow. I don't trust You to give me something for the next week. I'm going to hoard and I'm going to get and I'm going to take because I don't trust that You're good. But if we recognize that God is good and blesses, we'll have no need to covet, no need to hoard, no need to have treasures on earth rather than in heaven because we recognize God is good. We trust Him to be good no matter what. Part of what it is to be good, because that, remember like we said, we started our whole time together by noting how the word good can be used in several different ways. So one of the ways it helps me understand what goodness is all about is to connect it with the word generosity. Someone who's good is someone who's generous. Generous with time, generous with money, generous with their attention and their talent, all those things. If I will be generous with you and giving to you, that's an indication that I'm good. And so when we say of God that He is good, we recognize that He is generous with His blessings. He shares and He shares and He shares, and then He expects us to do the same. I want you to note the way this is connected in a place like 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18. 1 Timothy 6:18, the Bible says that those who are rich in this present age, meaning those who have this world's goods, the Bible says they are to do good, to be rich in good works, and generous and ready to share. If God has blessed us, we are to help and bless others. God's been generous to us, we're to be generous with others. Hebrews 13:16, don't neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So here's the point of this first one. God is good all of the time. Even before we've asked Him, in His goodness, He blesses us and He provides for us. He's given us all that we need to grow. He's given us all that we need to flourish in His kingdom. And if we are in awe of that kind of goodness, we will seek to emulate Him. If we're in awe of God's generosity, if we're in awe of God's kindness, we will seek to share that same thing with others. Be generous and good to others. God's good because He blesses before we ever even say a word. But then there's this. It's also the fact that God is good because He actually does bless when we ask. You see, there's a difference there. There's some blessings that we offer just all the time because that's who we seek to be. There's other blessings that we offer only when special and specific needs arise. Maybe it's the case that someone comes to us and they say, here's the need that I have. Here's what I'm going through. The generous, the good, says, let me help. Let me stop what I'm doing. Let me throw down what I'm doing and come to your aid and help you. The not so good, the not so generous, the selfish says, don't you see how busy I am? Don't come to me with those requests. Plenty of other people can help you out. The good listens and responds to the request. It's common to hear this in the Old Testament. Let me give you some examples. We read one, Psalm 107, verse 1. Psalm 106, verse 1. Psalm 118, verse 1. Psalm 136, verse 1. Ezra 3:11. On and on and on. This is what the Bible says. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. That phrase is repeated. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because He's good, so give thanks to Him. And so what I want to focus on for just 1 minute is Psalm 107. If you don't already have your Bibles open there, open to Psalm 107. Because I want you to see that what this whole psalm is about, it starts that way. Psalm 107, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord because He's good. Then what's going to happen in the rest of it is the psalmist is going to essentially show us, here's how He's good. Here's the good thing that He is and the good things that He does that causes me to want to praise Him and worship Him and give Him glory. Here's how God is good, this description. It's that He hears me when I call Him. It's that He responds to me when I plead with Him. Specifically, the Lord wants us to understand that He's good because He responds to the calls and the cries and the pleas of His people. He's there when we hurt. He sees us through the storms of life. Because what you're going to see here in Psalm 107 is again and again and again, people in a situation that's ugly and hurtful, but they have a God they can count on. They have a God they can cry out to who'll respond to them. And they say to that, God, You are so good. I want to praise You. Take note. Look at Psalm 107 beginning here at verse 4. It says, some wandered in the desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Look at verse 6. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. Drop down to verse 10. Verse 10 says, some sat in darkness. They sat in the shadow of death. They were prisoners in affliction and iron. Look at verse 13. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their darkness and their distress. Verse 19, we'll repeat that. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. Verse 28, we'll repeat that. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. God is a God who sees and understands and endures, stands with, is faithful to. He's good. And so when we call out, when we are in a time of distress, He's present and He's able and He responds. And so it says again and again, that refrain is repeated. We cried out and You heard, You saw, You delivered. And that is who our God is. He's a God who redeems those who have been sold away and gone away. He forgives those who have committed sin. He heals those who've been wounded. He protects those who are being harassed. God is good. And He's good because He forgives and He restores those who've strayed. I wonder if we have a circumstance or a situation right here, right now, this morning. I guess the real question would be how many, not if, but how many find themselves numbered among us this morning who need to cry out to a God who heals, to cry out to a God who hears distress and who will forgive and restore. Because if you need to cry out to this one, to plead with Him for healing or for forgiveness, then you can be encouraged, you can take heart, because God is good. And He'll hear you and respond. And that brings us to the last thing. We have this God who blesses, and we have this God who responds to cries of distress. But this God that we serve, when we say that He is good, we cannot mistake it. We cannot miss it. We cannot ignore the fact that when we say that God is good, that one of the things Scripture is saying is that God stands opposed to and against sin. No one who calls themselves good can rebel against the will of God. And at least to be honest about it. Be accurate about it. I cannot say that I am good and then just live in open rebellion against the will and the plan of God. To be good is to stand where God stands. To be good is to stand against that which God stands against. To be good is to be righteous, and to be righteous is to be obedient to the law of God. Biblical goodness is not mere niceness. Biblical goodness is not just being kind. Biblical goodness is actually submission to the will of God. And because God is good, He can't participate in or approve of sin. Because God is good, He has to make it clear that He's opposed to sin. Now, one way that this is accomplished, to make it plain, make it clear that God's opposed to sin, is he threatens judgment. He threatens judgment and then goes beyond that, even carries it out when the warnings aren't heeded. So a good God will make warnings. Here's where you must stay. Here's the line you must not cross. Here's a good God gives warnings. But a good God also carries through on the warnings he's given. Psalm 107, let's go back there. Psalm 107, beginning at verse 10. We read this a moment ago, but we didn't include verse 11. Look at this. 107:10. Some sat in darkness. They sat in the shadow of death. They were prisoners in affliction and in irons. And the question becomes, why? Why were they in such a miserable condition? Why were they in such a miserable state? Verse 11. For they had rebelled against the words of God. And what did God do? They spurned the counsel of the Most High. So verse 12 says, so he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. You see, their sin led to his judgment. Their sin led to his carrying out the warnings he had given before. They sat in the shadow of death. They were prisoners in affliction. They rebelled against his word. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. Drop down to verse 17. Some were fools through their sinful ways. Through their sinful ways. And because of their iniquities, what happened? Because of their sinful ways, because they were rebelling against God, because of their sin, what happened? They suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food. They drew near to the gates of death. But in that time of affliction, in that time of judgment, it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered. Their sin put them in that place. Their rebellion against God put them in that place where it says that God bowed them down. God put them in that place to where they would either wake up, come to themselves, and cry out to God, or they would just continue down that dark path of destruction. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2. I want you to make note of this. Something very similar is taught here in both Romans 2 and Romans 11 that goes along with Psalm 107. Romans 2, beginning at verse 1. Romans 2, 1. You have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Now, do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things, and yet you condemn them yourself, or do them yourself, do you think that you'll escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and the forbearance of his patience, and not knowing that God's kindness, that God's goodness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Then drop to chapter 11. Chapter 11 of Romans, beginning at verse 20. Romans 11:20 says, they were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note this, verse 22. Note then the goodness or the kindness. Note the kindness and the severity of God. Note the goodness and severity of God. Severity towards those who've fallen, but God's kindness or God's goodness is shown to you, provided you continue in the goodness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. So here's the idea. God offers blessing and blessing and blessing. In his goodness, he has offered these kind things, these good things. He's offered you so many great blessings that you can embrace or reject. Should you reject them, you will find yourself, he says it so plainly, should you reject them, you'll find yourself in a place of judgment. That's the way that his goodness works. Because he is warning against rejecting him. He's warning against living selfishly, living for the world, living with the world. He's warning us to embrace his thoughts, his will, his heart. But let me give you one more warning before we quit. When we finally do make that decision that we know who God is and we know that he's good and we want to stand with him and embrace that goodness and live in light of that goodness, and so we seek to be good and do good to others, you know what's going to happen? We're going to put ourselves in a position of where there's a target on us. Because so often, goodness is met with resistance. That sounds strange. You'd normally think, well, goodness is going to be met with more goodness. Goodness is going to be met with joy. But what's it say about Jesus the Christ in Acts chapter 10, verse 38? Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Jesus went about doing good. Well, how'd that work out? It says in Acts 10, 39, so they hung him on a tree. It was met with great negativity. Few want their faults exposed. Few want to feel threatened. Few want to really stand up next to genuine goodness. They don't like it and they want to shut it down. But what we're called to do, as it says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, we are called to be light. We are called to share the light of the Lord with others so that they can see Almighty God. You're the light of the world, he tells us in Matthew 5. You're to let your light shine so that others may see your good works and give glory to our Father who's in heaven. Here's the way it works. God is good and generous. But he doesn't give us these good things so they'll just stop with us. He gives us good things so that we'll in turn be generous with others. He gives us good things so that we'll use them to point others to Jesus. He says in essence, be good. Others will see it. Some won't like it and they'll persecute. Others will see it and it'll revolutionize and change their whole lives. Others will see your good works and they'll be pointed to Jesus. But regardless of the response of others, what we are called to do is to be good and do good and show others Jesus and allow others to decide what they'll do with it. Some will hate it, others will glorify the Lord because of it. Here's what I want to leave you with this morning. When the rains come and replenish the earth, remember that God is good. When you're in the midst of the storm and the waves are crashing on top of and rocking the boat and you're terrified, remember that God is good. When you see a majestic sunrise or sunset, remember that God is good. When you're walking through darkness and you are groping for a way out because you see no light, remember that God is good. Let us be in awe of His goodness and let us live accordingly. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good and His steadfast love endures forever. If we come to embrace and accept and understand that statement, it will change the way that we live. We'll praise Him and bless Him and worship Him, but then we will also live for Him in a way that others see Jesus. Let's give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. If there's any way that we can encourage you or help you to be submissive to the plan of salvation, we want to encourage you to come now to the One who is good while we stand and sing.